So I'd emailed you this week about how the various Methodist churches in the area were running an ad in the Post. So we ran this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It kind of looks like this. I wish it was in color, but that was several thousand dollars more. But that's there for you. And then there is a great editorial on page 19. It's called Stop Casting Stones, Reverends. So if you get the Post, make sure to take a look at it. Nick Benton, who is the editor for the Falls Church News Press, emailed me on Thursday if I would write the commentary for this paper coming up on Thursday of what the dust up in the Methodist Church on the perspective of me and the church, Doolin. So we're working on that to finalize that. And then on Thursday's paper, we're running an ad. It'll be on the back of the paper. We'll be running an ad as well for that. So that's what we have for that. Just want to let you know. So we're looking at temptation and wilderness. And so Ian and I were in the wilderness on Wednesday. This past Wednesday, we were in the wilderness as we went down to the East Falls Church Metro to impose ashes. So I wanted to give Ian a moment just to kind of give a witness of his experience with that, and then I'll kind of share a little bit afterwards. But Ian, give us some love about how that was for you.
Sure. So like Pastor Dave said, we went out very early on Wednesday morning. And I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but or if you spent any time outside at all on Wednesday morning, but it was pretty cold. It was very cold. It was 20-some degrees on Wednesday morning. And I'm from up north, right? I'm from upstate New York. And normally I'm accustomed to the cold, and that doesn't bother me. But even up in Rochester, we don't stand out in the cold for 90 minutes at a time. And so it got cold, and I was kind of adjusting myself, trying to stay warm, stay in the sun, pray that the clouds stayed away. But throughout all that, it was really powerful to have people come up as we were offering the ashes, who were total strangers to us, not necessarily connected to our church. We had some from Doolin come up, some who just maybe couldn't make it to church that day, or were reminded all of a sudden that it's Ash Wednesday. I can connect to my faith and my faith tradition this way. And so it was really meaningful to be able to do that. Ash Wednesday is a bit of a weird holiday or weird celebration observance to do because you're reminding people of their mortality. Dust you are, to dust you will return. But even throughout all that, to be able to share the good news that God still loves them and God's love for them is eternal, that is powerful for me, and it was powerful for them as well.
It was 20 degrees. When we left, it was 25. And when we were done, I said, Ian, we're going to Heidelberg Bakery. So we went to Heidelberg Bakery and just filled up on food and coffee. So it was great. Yeah, when we got there, we had our little ashes. And I thought, you know, people are going to look at us like, who are we? So I just kind of started screaming out, ashes for Ash Wednesday. And then I'd hear Ian go, ashes for Ash Wednesday. And we're kind of going back and forth. And that's how we got people. And then after a while, one of the security guys came to take a smoke break, and he was near us, kind of checking us out, making sure we were doing, you know, what we shouldn't be doing. We were okay. But it was great. You know, one person said, I'm not Catholic. I said, well, I'm not either. You know, you know, like I was guilty of some offense. And, you know, it was funny. Then we had some neighbors come by, and then we had people just, oh, my God, I forgot it was Ash Wednesday. You know, so we did. There was one man that fussed at me because he said, people should be going to service for this. And I said, well, I'm a witness. And he didn't have much to say, and he moved on. But it was great. I had someone, it's okay, he spit at my feet, which is okay. That's the way it is. And but it was a great witness. It's something I've been thinking about. Ian encouraged me to do it, so I'm glad that we were able to do it together and to be a witness. So we'll be doing it next year. Understand that the Presbyterian Church down the street, they do West Falls Church, which is okay. So we're going to, our turf is East Falls Church. And we're going to be a little more technology. Ian, we'll have a little placard thing that tells what we're doing, that kind of stuff. So we just kind of did it on a whim. And, you know, we had to get our ashes. We had to get a vessel to put our ashes in. It was a lot of work, but we pulled it together. So it was great. So thanks for that. When we look at this particular scripture, it's funny, we call it Satan Sunday. I can remember, I've told you before, my first experience with this particular scripture. I was 7 years old. I was at Walnut Hill Elementary School in Petersburg, Virginia, and Miss Holloway was my teacher, and we had a Bible lesson every day before we started. It's interesting, at my school, we never did the Pledge of Allegiance, but we did in second grade, and then after that, they got rid of it. But I can remember she had this storybook. It was a picture Bible for kids, and here was this picture of Jesus on a mountain, and there was this image of the devil, and she read this story that we heard today, and I went home terrified. I was terrified as a seven-year-old to see the picture of this red man with horns and a long tail forked at the end. That image was seared in my mind since I was 7 years old, some 53 years. And so every the first Sunday of Lent, we go through this particular scripture, and I am taken back to when I was 7 years old hearing about this. It's about the wilderness. It's about temptation. It's about tests in our lives. And it's in all three of the synoptic gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, which means that it was very important to the early church. The gospel of Mark is very quick to go through it. And then Matthew and Luke have these three scenarios where the devil offers a test for Jesus. And we know those tests. He says, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus says, one does not live by bread alone. The devil says, I'll give you all these wonderful things if you'll worship me. And Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve your God. And then the devil says, Jesus, prove yourself, throw yourself down and have these angels kind of take care of you. And Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then the devil kind of put his tricks back in his bag and left. And it says, until an opportune time. We're not done with the devil. So I was thinking this week more about what it's like to be in the wilderness. Jesus was taken, led by the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness for 40 days. And so I thought we would think about the wilderness for a little bit. We know that the Israelites, when they left Egypt to the Holy Land, they were there for 40 years. In Deuteronomy, we read about an Aramean, Abram, that went and found himself and his family in Egypt. For some of us, the wilderness is dealing with daylight savings time. At the first service, I saw somebody pop their, I can see everything that goes on at that front door right there. And somebody popped in about 9:15, and they saw we were having worship going on, and they ran out real quick, and I tried to catch them, and they were gone. They didn't want anybody to know that they had messed up on their time. Daylight savings time. So we'll be dealing. I've kind of got my sleep pattern right from the last time we changed, so now I've got to get my sleep pattern back again. I was in the wilderness last night watching a little basketball game, Duke and UNC, and UNC just tore up my little team, and I woke up this morning, and Chapman Taylor is in Singapore, and there was a text waiting for me, what happened to Duke? You know, come on, I had unclean thoughts. I thought of the wilderness of when we're in a hospital room, and we wonder, what's going to happen with our life when we've had this physical ailment? We're in the wilderness. I thought about when we get kicked out of the house for whatever reason and we end up in a hotel room. We're in the wilderness. I thought about when we go to places to vacation that we're not so sure of and we get lost. We're in the wilderness. I'm planning a trip in April and early May to Prague and Vienna and Budapest. And so I started looking at the maps and I am totally lost. You may not see me again after Easter Sunday. There was the story of the man that was stranded in Oregon in the snow. And he lived on eating Taco Bell sauce. Stranded. We're in the wilderness when we park our car, when there are not many cars there, and we come back and the parking lot is full. And we get this little panic attack. Where is my car? And thank goodness now we have these little beep things that can help us to find our car. When we lose a job and we're cleaning out our desk, that is wilderness. I have experienced that. It's no fun. You are in the wilderness. There's hurt and pain. We're in the wilderness politically. I was in the paper today about how the Democrats find themselves in the wilderness with these new congresspeople. Some of us may feel we're in the wilderness with the administration, the president's administration that we have. We feel we're in the wilderness. The United Methodist Church. We find ourselves in the wilderness. The article that I'm writing, it's titled, In the Wilderness. How I see my life and our church as living in the wilderness. The wilderness comes in all shapes and sizes, and it's scary because there is the unknown. Jesus was called into the wilderness, but as he was in the wilderness, he realized what his call was, he realized what his mission was, and he realized what his identity was, and he came out to be a stronger person. During the season of Lent, we see ourselves as being in the wilderness where we are called to look at the insides of our lives and to maybe get rid of some of the distractions that are part of our lives, to get to subtract rather than to add, to take a look at what needs to be pruned, to take a look at what has died in our life, to take a look at what is decaying and diseased in our lives, and to work on getting rid of it so that we can have new growth to begin with Easter Sunday. Our lives are so full of busyness, fast food, cell phones. I can remember a few weeks ago, there was a friend of mine who called me and said, let's have lunch. And I said, fine, I'll come up and see you and we'll have lunch together. And over that entire lunch, he was just constantly looking at his cell phone. It was like, why am I here? A distraction. Friends, when we go to lunch with others, put your cell phone away. At least put it on no ringer or something. But this is a time to be one-on-one with your friend and to have relationships with one another. And please don't let the cell phone be a distraction of your love for your friends and our acquaintances and those persons, especially with me. We're called to listen. To listen for the small voice of God in our lives. And we're called to remember that Jesus did not go into the wilderness himself. Who led him? The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And there are times in our lives when the Spirit leads us in the wilderness to guide us, to direct us, to show us, to help us, to encourage us, to make our lives better as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So this season of Lent, as we begin today, think about our shortcomings. It's hard. Ask your spouse, ask your friend. They'll be glad to tell you what they think are your shortcomings. That might be a good exercise for each of us to do. And then to look at the distractions that we have in our lives and to get rid of those distractions. so that we can live a fuller life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together,